Now, Psalm 136 is a psalm that was written by the psalmist for the Jewish people to sing. It is a song. They are to sing this song as they traveled to Jerusalem for the required feast, and once they got there, they were to continue to sing it as well. There are several of the psalms that were written for this purpose, and it was written to be sung in a responsive manner. One portion of the people would sing the first part, and another portion would sing the other part. So that's how I want to do it tonight. I'm going to read the first part of each verse, and you are going to read in unison the second part. We would sing it, but I'm involved, so we won't do that. Amen. So let's stand, and your part is easy. It's the same every time. For his mercy endureth forever, and it will be on the screen for you. Verse 1. And listen to the words that the psalmist has penned down. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. And all God's people said, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to receive it, understand it. Make it come alive into our hearts, we ask and we pray. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace, first introduced that particular song, Amazing Grace, to his church on New Year's Day, 1773. And at the start of each year, Newton set aside a service, a New Year's Day service, to reflect on the amazing grace of God. And this is what he wrote in one of his letters. Quote, he said, I look back to see the way the Lord has faithfully led me thus far through the wilderness. I look around to contemplate the difference his goodness has made in my situation and that of thousands of my fellow creatures. And then I look forward to see that I am drawing apace to my journey's end and I soon will be home. Close quote. So I want us tonight for a few minutes to reflect on the grace of God at the end of this year and as we begin a new year. And I want us to think about God's heart toward us, His people. And there is one overriding thought in the psalm that we read. It is the psalm, it is the part that you repeated 26 times. We are reminded that His mercy endures forever. And the word mercy there is literally in the Hebrew steadfast love. His steadfast love endures forever. And each one of those endings on each one of those verses serves as an exclamation point of what the psalmist is saying. So in case you're thinking that this might become monotonous, let me remind you that this repetition forces us to focus on the Lord's intervention of His loyal love. So let me give you three things tonight. Number one, verses 1, 2, and 3, the declaration. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. So these first three verses deal with the congregation of Hebrews giving thanks to the Lord. It is a call of God for us to have a grateful heart, or better, to confess or to acknowledge God in our day. We are to acknowledge Him, the Lord, that word Lord being Yahweh, the proper name of God of Israel. It is a name that God revealed to Moses and literally means the God who will be with you or the God who will be it. He is the I Am. Amen? So wherever you go, the Lord will be with you, and whatever you need, the Lord will be that. Amen? He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God is good. He is good beyond all others. He alone is good. He is the source of all good. He is the sustainer of all good. He deserves the constant gratitude of His people. And His goodness is on display in the steadfastness of His love. It speaks of His gracious covenant that He has made with His people, and He keeps with His people who are undeserving of it. Sinclair Ferguson comments, quote, "It means that God's deep goodness expressed in His covenant commitment. It is His absolute loyalty to His people." It is amazing that God is so loyal to us. Amen? It is His obligating Himself to bring to us the blessings that He has promised to deliver to us, whatever the cost to Himself may be to do it. So give thanks to God, the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He is the supreme God. He is the sovereign God. But He is not distant and He is not remote, because His love for us is steadfast and endures forever. It is our God alone, who is to be thanked and to be worshiped. It is His steadfast love that endures forever for His people. Amen. And what did you do to deserve His love? Nothing. Matter of fact, you've done everything to not deserve His love. But yet with steadfastness, with loyalty, He loves His people. That is the declaration. God loves His people. He is to be thanked by His people because He is good. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. And then there, secondly, is the demonstration. He is not only declared the Lord, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, but He demonstrates the truthfulness of that particular declaration. The psalmist next gives us the cause of our worship, or the reasons for our worship. The worship we are to give God is warranted worship. There are many reasons why we should be grateful to our God. It is God's, the evidence of God's steadfast love that endures forever are demonstrated by the acts of God. And there are two great acts of God that the psalmist reminds us of here, the creative act of God and the redemptive act of God. To him who alone doth great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever, after each one of those statements of fact. The creative acts of God were done by God to display his steadfast love. Every act of creation was done so that God might display to us that his steadfast love for us endures forever. Whatever creative event you want to point to, whether it's great or whether it's small, it was done to display his ever-enduring, steadfast love for his people. Everything that you see creatively shouts the steadfast love of God. Behind it all is the steadfast love of God for you that endures forever. So don't just look and see the wonders of his creation from physical eyes. View them through theological eyes. When you see the heavens, when you see the waters, when you see the sun, when you see the moon, when you see the stars, remember that they were made and they exist to remind you of his steadfast love for you that endures forever. And then we have the redemptive work of God. The same God that created the universe is the same God that saves his people. He smote Egypt in their firstborn, brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand, he stretched out his arm to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, made Israel to pass through, overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him that led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings, and on and on and on. We are brought to see that the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt and the wonders that God performed to free them, he brought them out of their bondage with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. He divided the Red Sea, made Israel pass through it, and then killed Pharaoh and his troops by the same water that he divided. He leads his people through the wilderness. He smote great and famous kings. And he did it all for what reason? To display his steadfast love for you that endures forever. So you cannot explain or you cannot understand your salvation apart from God's steadfast love for you. It is his redemption. It is the redemption of God's people that reveals his steadfast love for you. He saved you because he loves you. And this is what I want you to get. Israel's failures, and they had many of them. Say amen. They failed and failed and failed over and over and over again. Their failures had nothing to do with their redemption. Their rebellion, their complaining, their sinning did not prevent their salvation. Their redemption does not focus on themselves. It focuses on God, who loves them with a steadfast love that endures forever. Matter of fact, nothing at all is said here by the psalmist about Israel's faithfulness or their failure. Their salvation is dependent upon God. Look thirdly at the delight. So all of that's in the past, right? God has redeemed his people. He's done great and wondrous things. Now he brings us to the present. And he says in verse 23, who remembered us. It's one thing for God to save his people Israel. It's another thing for God to save us. To remember us in our low degree, to redeem us from our enemies, to give food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So the psalmist, given this work of God for Israel, in the past now emphasizes a personal experience that he and the Israelites presently enjoy. You with me? God has remembered us. He has rescued us. And this remembering of us today, his steadfast love for us, the redeeming of us, is the continuation of God's love for his people. Say amen. The love of God for us, his people, is not just a past event. It is a present reality. And let me add something. It's a future promise. The love of God. Have we not experienced God's steadfast love? And we will continue to experience God's steadfast love, and we will experience that love forever. He gives food to all flesh. He provides food to all flesh. Why? Because he loves his creation. There is a sense in which God loves his creation. By grace, he provides food for all flesh. And while he loves all men, he does not love all men the same. He loves his people with a special love. So, when you sit down in a few minutes and eat the food that has been prepared, don't just think how good it is, because I'm sure it's going to be good. Don't just think how capable the person that made it is, but think that you have it because of God's steadfast love for you that endures forever, and give thanks to him. All flesh should repent. All flesh should give thanks to God, for his mercy endures forever. And behind everything we enjoy on this earth, understand this, everything we enjoy on this earth, behind it all is the steadfast love of God that endures forever, who gives it to us. So delight in him. Confess him, acknowledge him, worship him, glorify him. It is not a casual thing. It is a thoughtful thing. It is an informed thanks for his steadfast love. And we are being called by this psalm to add our voices to the congregation. Say amen. It's not just what they sang. It's what we sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And every day of 2022, every day of this next year, we are to add our voices to the worship and to the thanksgiving to the one who has created all things by his love for us, to the one who redeems us because of his love for us, and the one who remembers us because of his love for us. So each day, add your voice in this psalm, to this worship, to this praise, to this thanksgiving, because his steadfast love for you endures forever. And all God's people said,